What's up, what's up? You are now listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and I'm your host, Hassan Thomas, along with Remy, and we are here to share tools on how millennials can budget, save, invest, and understand student debt and credit to achieve financial freedom. If you're a high school student, college student, or someone who's interested in gaining more financial insight, this podcast is for you.
I'm trying to give me a bag. 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 I'm trying to give me a bag.
What's up? What's up? Welcome back to FY Fly the Podcast. It's CEO Sonny with my dog Remy G. What's up, G man? Talk to us.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Y'all know this is a show about financial literacy. And financial literacy at its simplest is understanding not only how to budget your money, but being able to save and grow your money efficiently and effectively. So we want you all to feel comfortable listening to people talk about money, but most importantly, feeling comfortable enough to talk about money and finances yourself. With that being said, I actually don't have a quote for you today, but I have some advice that I got from my father, who always told me to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Well, growing up, I kind of tweaked that advice a little bit. I like to tell myself and others, pray for the best and prepare for the worst and handle whatever is thrown at you. This mindset is beneficial because by planning and preparing for the best in the worst situation, you are never surprised by what the outcome is. So we're going to dive right in, man. We ain't got no time to waste. Let's get active. Today, we're going to be talking about 401ks and retirement, what a 401k is and how does it work and why you should take advantage of it even though we are young. Do y'all understand that us young people, millennials, Generation Z, Zoomers, whatever you want to call us, if we do not have a retirement plan, we will not have money to live on after we're not able to work anymore?
Yeah, our generation doesn't have access to pensions like the older generations had. A pension is an employer-sponsored retirement plan, just like a 401k, but the difference with a pension is that your employer pays a monthly salary depending on how much you work. A 401k won't give you back any money like pensions used to do, which is why pensions are a rarity nowadays, because it creates a riskier expense for your employer. With the 401k plan, especially if your employer is not matching your contributions, you're the only person responsible for saving up for your own retirement.
A 401k is an employer-sponsored retirement account, so you do have to be an employee. Therefore, if you are a business owner like myself, don't worry. There's an account that allows you to save money in a better place than your shoebox, like an IRA, which stands for an individual retirement account. Or you can look into solo 401ks, which we'll be definitely touching on in later episodes. So make sure you subscribe and stay locked in with Remy G and me. So as I was saying, a 401k gives you the option to allocate a portion of your pre-tax, keyword, pre-tax salary to your retirement account. A 401k is a different type of savings because it is employee sponsored, and you can also save your money by investing in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. So how does it work? Remy G, you want to take this one away, bro?
So a 401k works when you and your employer agree on a set percentage to be taken out of your paycheck before taxes. I can't remember if you touched on this, Son, but I just want to say, if your employer is offering to match your contributions to your 401k, do it. That's literally free money that you're missing out on. And I know you don't want to turn down free money, because it takes what? A little more out of your check? Come on now.
Big facts, bro. Life is a game. We just got to learn how to play it.
Since life is a game, when it comes to 401k and retirement, it's no different. There are some rules you must abide by. And if you don't, you'll be flagged or penalized. So unlike a Roth IRA, if you were to withdraw money from your 401k plan early or before you turn 59, then you'll be greeted with a nice 10% early withdrawal fee.
No cap, no cap, bro. But we're going to take a quick break with our sponsor, Guap Coin, and jump right into our insightful interview. This episode of FY Fly is being brought to you by Guap Coin. Guap Coin is a decentralized digital coin founded by people of color that can be traded between peers instantly. Guap Coin is fast, secure, and highly scalable. Now, Guap Coin is for everybody, but their primary mission is to uplift those economic communities that have been left out of the cryptocurrency revolution. For more information, visit guapcoin.org or email tevans@guapcoin.com. DM us a question at FYFly on Instagram or Facebook for your chance to win 100 Guap Coins. We will be choosing 4 lucky winners to receive 100 Guap Coins apiece. Stay safe, stay invested, and stay guaped up. What's up? What's up, my fly folks out there? How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing all right. We are now entering the insightful interview portion of our show. And today we are speaking with the founder of the Prosperity Agency, Ralph Jarvis Jr. What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well, bro. I appreciate you having me on FYI Fly, man. holding it down for the city of Philadelphia, PA, bro. It's great to be on, you know, a like-minded individuals podcast and help support the movement. I appreciate you, son.
Man, no problem. No problem, man. I'm ready. I'm excited. So tell us a little more about you, your background, and how you started your business.
Yes, sir. So as I said, my name is Ralph Jarvis Jr. I'm from Philadelphia, PA, born and raised here. I actually got a degree in finance from Temple University. So kind of, you know, going from school into the corporate world was kind of my first taste of business. Mm. I was a stockbroker. I actually still am a financial advisor, but more or less lately, you know, kind of shifted perspective a little bit and taking on this new mindset of ownership, bro. Mm. And like, you know, working in the corporate world, you know, is great. And coming from where I come from, a lot of people don't even get to experience that, bro. So, mm-hmm. you know, this has been a blessing and an incubator and kind of growing my skills, growing my talents and allowing me to do business, you know, with people who I probably would have never got to done business for. Right. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, you know, I've also kind of been enlightened, and financial literacy has always been a big purpose of mine. Hence, like, you know, what I went to school for. So mm-hmm. being able to pivot what I've learned in the corporate business world and bring it back to like kind of personal finances and personal wealth, bro, really mm-hmm. has inspired my journey as an entrepreneur and really pushed me, first of all, to start kind of my first business, which was the Prosperity Agency, mm-hmm. where we do digital marketing, social media marketing, and website design, and coincidingly opening it up the Legal Trap LLC, whereas though we have an Instagram, the Legal Trap LLC, mm-hmm. and that's kind of my baby, where like that's all my financial literacy, bro. That's all business consulting, where we're helping people start businesses, create LLCs. And like when I first created my LLC, I'm like, man, like, you know, a lot of people have like objections thinking like creating LLCs are hard. You know, mm-hmm. how am I going to start my business without a lawyer? And just going through the process and trial and error myself, I'm like, man, you know, I got to get this information back. Like, you can start a business in 30 minutes, bro. Like, in 30 minutes, man. And you can have your name on the papers, bro. I can go get a business bank account. And I don't got to be killing the game. I don't got to be making $1 million. But, bro, to have, you know, I partnered with my mom to have our names on an actual business and getting started boots on the ground was mm-hmm. a beautiful thing. And it really inspired me, you know. So kind of that fell into, I brought it. My first property was a triplex. I actually like am starting a house hack, a triplex right now. So mm-hmm. It was just like a financial literacy awakening for me, bro. And it really pushed me to start those businesses and really get on my social agenda of mm-hmm. empowering our culture, bro. Because I like in my job, I never, it's like rare that I see people to come from where we come from and, mm-hmm. you know, have those $1 million retirement portfolios, bro. And we got to start now in empowering this financial literacy. So that's been a little bit about my journey, you know, for kind of start to where I am now and in the transition I've been through.
Man, so elaborate on why financial literacy is so critical for young people.
Oh, man, that's a great, great topic. So for me, kind of what I just said is that in the norm of society, man, you usually go to school, you know, mm-hmm. pretty much for about 20 years. You work for 40 years, bro. Right now, you know, you're going to school for 20 years and pretty much working for 45, 47 years till you're about 67. And hopefully you can retire and maybe have, you know, 10 to 20 years to enjoy yourself. So even in the traditional line of thinking and going to school and getting a normal job and retiring, you don't have much time to enjoy yourself or seems like much financial freedom. And that's in the regular think about a corporate 9-to-5 job. Coming from where I'm from is the inner city of Philadelphia, bro. A lot of people not even getting those type of opportunities to where we can, you know, invest in 401ks, to where we can have retirement accounts and, mm-hmm. you know, really set ourselves up to even retire in the 60s, bro. It's people, you know, working through their 70s and just not having opportunity to settle down and be ever even think about financial freedom in my community. So I think financial literacy is key for young people to break the trend mm-hmm. of really economic suppression and oppression that we've been under for so long, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of breaking the cycles of not understanding money and being scared to talk about money and kind of embracing financial empowerment and learning about money and investing for the long term. So honestly, mm-hmm. to me, bro, I think financial literacy is probably the most important for children, thing mm-hmm. for children right now, bro, and for kids growing up to understand those type of principles.
Man, I agree with you 100%, man. So what is the best way for our listeners to become fly, man? And by fly, I mean financially literate and invested.
Man, you do exactly what you're doing right now. And you take advantage of 2020 and the resources being given to you, like podcasts, you know, like YouTube University, bro. And kind of even to a certain extent, social media platforms, and always kind of increase your acumen, your knowledge, and taking, you know, be a sponge to resources, you know, like FYI Fly, bro. Like we're giving out free jewels, learning how to, you know, invest and create passive income, create generational wealth. These are our, you know, these are opportunities, bro, back in the, even in the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s, our parents couldn't pick up, you know, their phone and lock in on your podcast, bro. And that's kind of how we got locked in where we are now. But, you know, to answer your question, bro, I want people to keep doing exactly what they're doing and locking in on these resources that is going to increase their financial literacy acumen.
So for our young listeners out there, why do we need to invest now? Why is it important for young people to invest?
Because it's a long-term game, man. You know, investing is very much long term. And I would say that's probably one of the hardest things from our culture for us to accept is that, you know, usually we don't have the additional resources or, quite frankly, money that we can invest now and kind of water those investments and you know, plants to prosper later on. We kind of need our return now. But I think if we kind of pivot and understand that if we invest now for the long term, bro, we might be able to, you know, not only retire earlier than 67, but depending on how hard we work now for the future, we might be able to, you know, retire early and kind of have our incomes work for us. So it's super important to invest now because it's a long, investing in itself is a long-term game. And you're only setting yourself and your future generations up for success the earlier you take advantage of the opportunities out here kind of in that realm.
Most def, man. And I'm glad you touched on, you know, our parents' age and, you know, how they did things back then because times are different, man. This guy from high school, he followed me on IG and I knew his name, but he didn't look too familiar. And it was probably because the last time I seen him, the man looked like a toothpick.
But yo, that's crazy.
But now this man looked like he played linebacker for the Houston Texans, man. I'm telling you, this dude is so big. And I told bro, I was like, man, you need to create, you know, some workout videos, you know, your diet plan and monetize those things because, you know, people will pay for those things. So can you give my audience a little more on like how to turn, you know, their passions into businesses?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So with that being said, man, I think if you are passionate about something, bro, like there's other people out there who are passionate. And if you can master that craft and you can get good at manifesting what you're being good at, what your passion is, not only can you monetize it, but there, you know, you're kind of giving a gift and value to other people who want to learn that. So in 2020, there are so many ways for you to first, you know, these social media platforms to get on and, you know, just do what you like to do, you know, be you and take it, you know, embrace what your passion is, you know, whether it be, you know, e-courses, e-books, straight branding, promotion, YouTube educational videos. There are so many ways to take something you learn, like, you know, your man who you just referenced, you know, however he got in the gym and bulked up on 100 pounds, whatever his routine was.
Yeah.
Right now, content is king. You produce content and show people your journey. There's people, you know, who are scared, you know, to show their journey or just don't know that it's possible. So whether it be, you know, your man gaining 80 pounds in a weight room or me and you becoming financially free, bro, there's people out there who think they can't, you know, get buff. Or there's people out there who think they can't retire early or become financially free. And it's up to us, the people who can manifest that or who have the vision to manifest that, to give it back. And man, 2020, this digital, you know, media, social media platforms have made it so easy to capture what we're doing just like this, curated in the content and give it right back to the people. So, you know, to answer your question, I think social media and capturing your passion in content and giving it back to people, you know, is a great way for you to monetize your passion.
So, man, tell us about some side hustles you got, man. I know you got a lot of stuff up your sleeve.
For sure. So I'm glad you asked this question. So, man, something that me and a few of my partners, we've actually been working on, man, is this rental car ride sharing platform play. Whereas, though, you know, we're buying rental cars from companies like Hertz and Enterprise, rental car companies, for, you know, 10, 12K, and pretty much putting them immediately up on rideshare platforms like HyreCar and Turo. And, you know, for that 10 or 12K, like, we're literally bringing back 10% return on investment per month. So that's about, you know, $1,000 to $1,200 per month, you know, off of a 10K investment. You're getting your money back in 10 months, literally, while making a passive income stream. And purely after 10 to 12 months, man, you're in the green. So number one, I would say, you know, definitely investing in these rental cars and creating a passive income stream that way. I would say number two for me right now is this digital marketing agency. And that's the Prosperity Agency, whereas though we're running paid advertisements for certain brands and content creation, social media management, and pretty much digital media marketing strategies for businesses and individuals. So between kind of those two things, those are my two side hustles right now. One a little bit more active, the other definitely a little bit more passive. But, you know, I think a mix of both is how you kind of, you know, creep up on financial freedom.
Okay. So for our listeners out there, how important is it to have those multiple streams of income that you just referenced?
Man, bro, it's key. That's key, bro. I think they say, you know, the average millionaire has about 7 streams of income, right? So, you know, that's my goal, man. I want seven streams of income or more. And honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, passive income is the best income. So, you know, you should have multiple incomes and passive ones, which means you don't really have to be there. You don't have to work in it to create income. And if you can have multiple viable products or services or businesses that are going to produce, you know, revenue and income while you're sleeping, while you're on vacation, bro, that's the epitome of financial freedom. So, you know, multiple income streams are key in life for you to be able to enjoy your time. The less you can sacrifice your time for income, the more financially free you become. So, you know, goals is to have my incomes, you know, streams replace my expenses. So now my time is abundant.
Man, you keep dropping these gems on us, man.
Man, they've been dropped on me, bro. It's our duty. It's our duty to pass them along.
Man, I feel that. I feel that. So do you personally believe that everybody can be an entrepreneur? Is entrepreneurship for everyone?
So do I believe everybody can be an entrepreneur? Yes, I do. Maybe, you know, there are going to be levels of success, but do I believe everyone is or cut out to be an entrepreneur, right? Probably not. Everybody's not going to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, I don't want to push people who it may not be their, you know, it just may not be in them to be an entrepreneur because, you know, it's stressful, bro. It's hard. It takes dedication, time, and, you know, just a lot of, I guess, inert qualities, you know, that I guess non-entrepreneurs don't possess. So you can very well be happy, you know, working your 9 to 5, hopefully, you know, getting a good wage and retiring at some point and, you know, be doing just fine if that's what you're, you know, maybe your passions are elsewhere and it may not be that financial freedom or that time money trade-off for you, right? It could be something else. So I don't think everybody will. I think everybody can be an entrepreneur, but I don't think everybody will be an entrepreneur just because it's not everybody's cup of tea. But yeah, I think they can, man. Just like you said earlier, you know, anybody's passion can turn into a hustle, which can turn into a business.
So what do you have to say to those folks out there who have a plan but are not putting that plan into action?
Don't fall into analysis paralysis, man. Don't think about it so much that you get frozen and stuck and don't know, you know, when to do it. Jump on it, man. Just do it. It's nothing to it but to do it. And I promise you, like, when you start, you'll feel much better. You're going to feel motivated and, you know, the results will shock you. You know, if it's something that you love, that you're passionate about, that will shine through. And honestly, like, that in itself, you know, passion makes people support you. So, you know, I think if you kind of thinking about a project or something, you know, just do it, man. You just got to do it and see how it goes, man. You don't want to live with those regrets.
Most def. So, man, you know, tell us about, you know, starting a business. You know, is it necessary to get an LLC? And are there other forms of businesses that we can utilize?
Definitely. So, you know, as we jump into this conversation, you know, definitely, you know, make sure that, you know, you understand that none of this is legal advice. And, you know, to make sure you know what's right for you, the best thing is to you know, go to a lawyer. But I think that's a great question, son, and that's something that I get a lot. So, you know, just to be quite transparent, like, do you have to get an LLC when you start a business? No, you don't. Now, should you? In my opinion, yes. You know, and why I say you should get an LLC when you start your business is because as a limited liability company, it does exactly what the name states. It limits your liability to the company. So what that means is as a business owner, you know, you have your personal assets as you yourself, you know, whether it be you own a home, your car, your bank account, your income, and then you have your business's assets, you know, whatever physical and intangible assets that business has. If you don't have an LLC and there's not a separation of business and personal assets, if whatever your passion is that you're selling and you're doing business with, you know, you don't have that right business structure, you could really be opened up to, you know, having a lot of liability or being sued and having your income garnished or some of your assets taken away. So to kind of separate those things, most importantly, you know, you want to get the LLC. Number two, you get a lot of benefits. Man, I think 2020 has been, you know, clear example of business owners who had LLCs and appropriate business structures in motion for some time in 2020. It was hard to kind of, when we started off, you know, when we jumped into the pandemic and these relief efforts and funds that they've put out, you know, I think business owners have really gained an opportunity with these like relief packages to really get a surplus of funds, bro. And those are like just small benefits of having an LLC and a business and doing things formally. Then you have like tax benefits, being able to separate your assets, you know, as a worker, you know, working in a corporate job, you know, first thing that's coming out of my check is taxes, right? As a business owner, you know, when you're doing service, right, you're getting paid first, right? You pay taxes last. And, you know, kind of depending on how things go, you know, you have flexibility, a lot more flexibility in paying business taxes than you do personal taxes. So kind of just three things there is just, you know, your liability you have there, that financial freedom, and then that tax benefit in the LLC is all reasons why I think you should get an LLC. Not that you have to, but, you know, good benefits that I think, you know, outweigh not taking that, like we talked about, 30 minutes, man, to do it.
Definitely.
Or a couple $100, man. It's super easy.
Most def. So how important is a detailed business plan before you get started with that business?
So, you know, just as much as, you know, I put emphasis on, you know, structuring your business, right, is planning your business, right? You know, you can just jump into a business, but I certainly wouldn't recommend anybody jumping into, like, you know, an actual business and not having a detailed business plan. And what that detailed business plan is going to do is just going to help you not only organize your vision and your mission, but it's going to help organize every variable and every step that you're going to take that makes your business run efficiently. So whether that be, you know, your operations, your day-to-day, how things are going to go, financials, where things are being paid and where resources are being allocated, you know, inventory, things like that. You want to have a detailed business plan because it's going to lay out every step of the way so that there's always going to be ambiguous situations, but you want to keep them to a minimum. And you do that with the business plan and trying to account beforehand for as much as you can and kind of, you know, roll with the punches as it goes. You want to, you know, make that business plan flexible and incorporate your new experiences and learnings into it as well. So, you know, I think that is very key and just as important as your business structure is having a plan for such structure.
So can you touch back on that social media marketing nowadays? Like how important is that? And can you just, you know, elaborate on that a little bit?
Man, it's super important, bro. If 2020 hasn't taught us anything, bro, it's taught us that everything needs to be digital. You know, we went almost 2 to 3 whole months without going into stores, restaurants. Bro, if people wasn't digital, how could you make money if people weren't coming outside? I think, you know, we've seen the explosion of things like Turo and HyreCar, Uber Eats and DoorDash, because people are utilizing, you know, digital means more in 2020, not just because of the pandemic, but because of where the shift in technology is. And then you put on top of that social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram. So what they're doing is not only taking the technology, but they're taking the influence, they're taking the content, and they're taking the audiences and putting them all in one place.
Yeah.
So now I literally don't have to even go outside for me to see what's going on in sports and entertainment, you know, in Black wealth empowerment, in any movements. And I can literally buy online anything I want. And literally what I'm seeing on social media, you know, is usually the biggest dictator of probably where I'm spending my dollar if I'm spending my dollar digitally.
Yeah.
So for me, as an entrepreneur, as someone who owns businesses, as someone who wants to empower young people, as we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Well, if technology is the future, digital platforms are the future, and money is being spent more and more, billions and trillions of dollars more every year on the internet, well, we need to shift our entrepreneurial focuses to the internet, right? Whether it's embracing increasing your digital brand, your business's brand, you can literally target someone all the way across, halfway across the world or halfway across the country who wants exactly, you know, what your passion is or what your business delivers instantly. Okay. And I mean, I've never seen that opportunity present in any other time in the world to be able to connect with, you know, 6+ billion people instantly.
Yeah.
And market and sell and gain trust and give. I mean, most importantly, it's about giving value. If you give value, you can connect with people, you can broaden your audience, and you can monetize that value.
Man, honestly, if you are not networking in 2020, you're not playing to win. You know what I mean?
At all, bro. And it's making it so easy, man. Like us, how do we meet, bro?
This man, social media,
bro. I'm like, dang. I go to somebody's profile. I'm like, man, he on the same mission as me. Let me just reach out. And it's not, you know, kind of take away a little bit of that awkward in person, you know, pride thing. And it's just like, man, you can see somebody's on the same mission. You don't have to guess who this person is. I can make my brand on the internet. I can tell Asana exactly who I am, what I do, and what my purpose and passion is before we even meet. So it encourages him. If he's on that same, if that resonates with him, well, I've already built a connection. So now all we got to do is network. And it just makes networking that much easier because we're so, you know, we're transparent and we're showing each other, you know, what our means of, you know, thinking is digitally before we even meet. So that's a beautiful thing. And like you said, man, it promotes professional networking.
Definitely. So can you explain, you know, the exact term, what branding is, like what you guys do in your business?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So branding is pretty much the process of creating loyalty and a trusted community to your purpose. So that is pretty much just the process of whatever, and your brand can be anything. So I don't really want to use like the name in the definition because your brand can be your personal brand, you as a person, Hassan, it can be FYI Fly, the podcast, the app. Your brand is your passion that you want to promote. So the process of branding is going to be increasing the knowledge and loyalty around and awareness around whatever your purpose or passion is, organically, non-organically, paid wise, digitally, you know, tangibly with posters and stuff like, but you're just increasing awareness and loyalty to what your purpose is.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So we're going to switch back real quick to, you know, finances and things like that. We got to touch on some things. Tell us why it's so important to regularly track and check your finances.
Oh man, that is a very touchy topic because, you know, I used to be one of them people, man. I never open up my bank app, man. I'm not trying to see that joint, man. They got it, man. I'm good. Yeah. Man, I ain't never think it was right anyway. But bro, it's key to budget. You have to create and stick to a budget. Not only so you can patternize your spending and find a way to minimize or find ways to invest, but just to be aware, you know, of what you're doing and the type of lifestyle you have and the type of lifestyle you want. So I think it's super important to budget, just to have awareness of what you're spending and to be able to financially accomplish the goals that you're trying to do.
Man, that's for real, man. So, you know, budgeting is one part. Give us some, you know, savings tips. How can we save money?
Bro, first thing first, put an automatic investment plan from your check. Couple percent right to an investment account, or say even a high yielding savings account, man. Put a you know, like automatic $50, you know, every 2 weeks straight into a subsidiary account where it can just sit and you don't never see the money come out. Some other ways are to try to cut out discretionary spending, which is going to be spending that you can control. Now we're kind of getting back into the going out swing of things, but you know, minimizing as much as you can, going out, eating out. So like meal prepping, you know, cooking in the house, just limiting, you know, discretionary spending, like the subscriptions and TV, kind of the Netflixes. If you can cut down on discretionary spending as much as possible, that's going to leave additional kind of, you know, money that you can invest or once again, put into kind of a side account.
So give us some positive money habits that you do. And if you have any negative ones, tell us so we can cut them off.
So definitely a positive one is like that auto savings. Another positive one as far as what I do. Yeah, I would say like that meal. Big thing for me is like was eating out, bro. So meal prepping for me is huge, man. Just going to like going to the market and just getting all my stuff and making it like in the crib instead of going out and spending money. Because listen, man, that $12 a day, man, you're looking at, you know, that's a $184 a week, man. That's over $500 a month, bro. And it'll go super fast, like literally just eating out, that you can just save just like meal prepping and eating in. So I would say like auto savings and just trying to stay in to eat, bro, because those are like my two guilty pleasures. And you said a bad habit, bro. Something that I've seen and I've been guilty of in the past, and you know, I've had to kind of be enlightened, man. Got to stay away from like gambling, bro. Like the gambling stuff. I love sports, man. Whether it be fantasy football, you know, basketball, bro. You know, it's easy to like, you know, just gamble, bro. I don't know, man. That, for me, that's something that like I've seen a lot. You know, kind of where I'm from in our culture with our young people, bro. That I think like that's just I don't know, bro. That's just like that's an expense that we can't afford as a culture.
Yeah, man. Leave them dice games alone.
Oh, it's like in our culture, bro. Like gambling in our culture, bro. Like from being on the corner shooting dice, bro, to being on the craps table, bro. Like it's in our culture. And I think that's like systemically something that we can break for us to, you know, kind of like, let's stop gambling and start, you know, gambling with these investments, bro. Let me try to put $1,200 into an investment and see if it can bring me back something every month instead of like, you know what I'm saying, trying to make a quick flip.
Man, I was honestly about to buy, you know, I was about to buy into ETF last night through Robinhood. And I was just thinking, man, it's better to, you know, impulse buy a stock than it's better to impulse buy, you know, some Gucci or some Montclair or some designer, you know what I'm saying?
But I used to be a victim of like the high designer and all that, bro. And I'm just like, bro, like, man, people were spending $300 on T-shirts and $1,000 on Balenciagas, man. Bro, $1,000 into Apple, man, 5 years ago would have had you like 100 bands right now, bro. Just passively putting that little bit of, and that's why I said discretionary spending, bro. It's that stuff that you don't really need, man. You going above and beyond just for you know, kind of that self-purpose is, man, limit that. And like you said, go impulse buy an ETF or a stock, bro, and just invest for the, go put that in your savings account and invest for the long term, or to your real estate, buy a home fund, bro.
Man, and that's why I'm so happy you even touched on, you know, that automated savings, because that's one of the things in my app that I wanted to make sure was available. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So on my app, you know, with Acorns, they once you swipe your checking account, they round your money up into an ETF. Well, okay. on my app, what it'll be doing, once you swipe your checking card, it'll transfer money into your savings account. So I'm, you know, I'm encouraging people to get into a savings account and things like that.
Yes, sir.
So that automated savings.
You gotta figure it out, bro. Yes, sir.
Definitely. That automated savings is something serious, you know, something that you can, that just, you know, every week, you know what I'm saying? Even if you put in $5, $10, you know, that's.
You won't even notice it, man. That's a cup of coffee.
So how important is it, you know, to balance your work life and your personal life?
That's a great question, Hassan. I think it's very important, bro. And honestly, throughout your life, that balance is going to be different. personally, right now, you know, I'm investing a lot of time and work. And when you kind of invest in one, you sacrifice the other. So I think based on what your mission is, you know, finding that balance of work and personal is going to be key to happiness, right? We talk a lot about money. I think, you know, kind of the root of why we talk about money and financial freedom is for happiness. So if you can find the right balance of working and kind of personal, kind of find your balance of happiness. And like I said, quite personally, man, you know, for me and kind of what I preach is like, if you kind of tilt the scale a little bit and, you know, you go, you know, that first 5-10 years and really locking in and work and sacrificing the play time and, you know, sacrificing, you know, the parties and all that in 10-12 years, you know, I'm trying to be somewhere in the south of Italy or France on the beach, man, and having my businesses work for me. But, you know, I understand to have maybe happiness in the future in abundance, you know, I got to sacrifice the personal time, you know, now. But, you know, to each his own. And I think to you, that's what's important to me is that balance. But you got to find, you know, what's going to be best for you and your balance correlated with what you want to manifest in your future.
Okay. All right. So what do some personal ways that you practice, you know, like self-growth? How can we improve, you know, as people?
Oh, man, I love self-development, bro. So the main thing, you know, one of the main things I've been doing, man, is kind of what we locking in on right now is listening to podcasts, bro. So, you know, I love just that, like that verbal, taking in that verbal, like a sponge, just taking in that verbal education and knowledge. To me, that's very digestible to hear people like me talking like to me. Yeah. I can digest and really understand that very easily. Certainly, I think just one of the most traditional forms that we've missed as a culture is reading books, bro. Reading books, man. There are so many books out there for us to read. And I feel like, you know, whether, you know, people are hiding it or not, the books are there, you know, to be read. And for some reason, we're not kind of being steered to them. So reading is a big part of my personal growth. So podcasts, reading. And then the last one, probably, to be honest, bro, is like YouTube, bro. YouTube University, man. I can literally, whether it be, you know, making my LLCs or paid advertisements on Google and Facebook and Instagram, or creating websites, bro, like pretty much all of my entrepreneurial like endeavors have started from like learning how to do things on YouTube, bro.
And so is like that why you call it YouTube University?
Oh yeah, you ain't never heard of YouTube University? You never heard that phrase before? Oh yeah, bro. That's I guess up here, bro. That's widely known, bro. YouTube. That's what we call the educational part of YouTube. When you go on YouTube and you type in how to, man, you start watching them 8 to 16 minute videos on how to do this and how to do that, bro. That's when you just like to everybody's has this cup of tea and like, you know, you've been in school, I've been in school, bro, and I can't stand lectures, bro. Like I was never a lecture person, bro. It was like immediate sleep. As soon as I'm in that 100-person class, listening to one, oh man.
Monotone voice.
Bro, you that Bill Nye the Science Guy voice, bro. That's clear eyes. Yeah.
No, for real.
But bro, YouTube. It's people like us, our age, who like, man, there's millionaires out there our age, bro, who just like figure this stuff out. And they're giving it back. You know, just like we are, but I just feel like it's very much digestible. And yeah, man, that's what we call that how-to section of YouTube is YouTube University. And it's free, bro. What school you know you can go to that you learn anything in under the book, under the sun for free?
Man, not none in the U.S.
definitely not none in the U.S., bro, because I'm a couple bands still in student loan debt I'm working out of. That's goal number two after retiring my mom.
Okay. So what are some ways you were working on paying down that debt? And give us some tips on how we could do that too.
Yeah, bro. Pretty much doing everything that we've been talking about thus far, man. And putting a little bit of money away, but not only just putting money away to save and, you know, because inflation, man, will eat that, you know, purchasing power up, but actually investing, bro. So, you know, investing right now so I can create income streams. So not only I can pay my basic like living expenses, but you know, when I really got to start kicking in and paying, you know, full student loan debt, that I can have income streams like the rental cars, like renting out my, you know, my properties, like my business, you know, my business is running efficiently. Whereas mm-hmm. I can put, you know, that couple hundred, couple thousand dollars, you know, into student loan debt. So for me, it's putting money away and working on my craft to create mm-hmm. multiple income streams in the future that are going to pay for these expenses that, you know, that are coming up and that are due like student loan debt. So for me, that's the biggest answer, bro. I can't, you know, can't really say keep saving, bro. You got to save and you got to invest and you got to make that money work for you, bro.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line, man. Now I want to jump into the real estate portion of what you do,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I want to know, man. I want to know. So explain the process of FHA loans, man. I'm actually looking to raise my credit score, man, a 750 plus and copy some multifamily homes, man. So give us some insight on that. You know, simplify that process for us.
Yeah, bro. So, man, I think the FHA loan is, man, I never really seen, that's like the my favorite, you know, real estate play, you know, to preach to anybody who maybe is just looking to grab their first, you know, property. And what that is, the FHA loan is pretty much, it's a federal loan, whereas though the normal, you know, mortgage you're going to do is, you know, a 20% down. So if you're buying a $200,000 house, that's $40,000, $100,000 house, you're putting $20,000 down. What a FHA loan will do is that it'll give you certain requirements to, you know, you have to buy a property within certain requirements. But, you know, if you as a borrower and the property, you know, you're looking to purchase meets these requirements, we won't, you know, make you pay 20% down. We'll make you pay 3.5% down. So for a $100,000 property, instead of you paying $20,000, you're paying $3,500. Add in, you know, like agent fees, but $3,500, bro, compared to 20. That's, you know, crazy. Numbers speak for itself, bro. So, you know, there are stipulations, like you have to live in a home for, you know, usually at least a year.
Mm.
Usually the mortgage, you get a little bit more. It's a little bit more because of like mortgage insurance, since you are usually this is for like lower credit score holders. Like right now in the pandemic, I think the threshold went up. So I think to get an FHA, you need like a 640 right now, I believe. Don't quote me, but I think it's somewhere around there. I know the requirements went up. Of course, you got to have like the verifiable income. But if you get approved, bro, you can get a actual property for up to 4 units, bro, for 3.5% down. So to me, that's probably the easiest real estate play. And personally, that's what I did. I actually, for my first real estate property, I bought a triplex and 3.5% down, and I live in one unit and I rent the other two out. So not only was I able to replace my living expense, but I was also able to create another passive, pretty much passive income stream for 3.5% down, bro. 3.5%. Man, why don't, like, rule of the game, spend other people's money. So if you want to leverage me 97.5% of this investment, I'm taking it. And I can cut out my living expense. And maybe if it's a good, you know, you got to find, not everybody's investment can be like that. Maybe somebody gets a 4-unit. Maybe somebody only gets a 2-unit. But either way, you can cut your living expense out. And if you do it right, get money on top of that as far as like an actual income stream. But that was huge for me, because usually like the biggest expense in somebody's life is the living expense. So if you can cut that out, bro, like, you're already on your way to financial freedom.
Man, that's beautiful right there.
So look into the FHA, bro, like, for sure.
Oh, trust me. You keep dropping them gems, man. Explain to us real quick, what exactly is gentrification?
So this is a dear topic to me, bro. That's a great question. So as I said, I'm from Philadelphia, PA. City, urban, you know, school system wasn't the greatest. Like, I feel blessed to be able to made it out and kind of, you know, be where I am now. Still in the city, of course. But with that being said, bro, gentrification is something I've seen, you know, all throughout my life. And then I've got older, I've actually, like, I've seen it firsthand. And what that is pretty much taking dilapidated or, you know, impoverished neighborhoods, you know, something like, personally, was like North Philly, so kind of around the Temple area, you know, 15 years back, man, you know, low income neighborhoods, and infusing those neighborhoods with new property and new businesses. So first thing first, people are coming in and they're buying out old property and rehabbing and raising property values in direct residential real estate. And not only with the residential real estate, they're also bringing in businesses with commercial real estate. So new restaurants, coffee shops. When you see the coffee shops, bro, and the breweries, gentrification is on the way. I mean, once you start, it don't got to be Starbucks, but bro, once you start seeing the coffee shops and the breweries, gentrification is on the way. And what, you know, they're bringing in higher value residential real estate as well as, you know, high traffic and kind of like now it's like that urban millennial, you know, commercial business, corporate kind of, you know, millennial lifestyle, like kind of characteristics. So in doing so, what they're doing is not only buying property from these low income individuals who live in it, who kind of, hey, they see, you know, a couple pennies on a dollar, you know, life is hard. They're taking it. So they're kind of replacing those low income people or the ones who are not taking it. Something that people don't know is that, you know, when those property values go up, you know, the next thing that goes up is taxes. So when those taxes go up, you know, people who are on fixed incomes and low incomes can't pay the, you know, the taxes on their properties as they start to rise.
Yeah.
So those kind of people are forced out. And as those people are forced out, you know, these big developers are buying these not only residential, but commercial buildings, turning them into high rises or, you know, multi units, turning them into, you know, these kind of urban commercial spaces and like fully changing the demographic of that area to usually low income, usually colored, you know, African American and other colored communities into like, you know, predominantly probably like Caucasian communities, but like urban millennials to where, and then where like those low income people are forced out of their own communities that they were, you know, they grew up in, were raised in, which is sad. You know, gentrification on one hand, you know, it's great to see dilapidated communities, you know, be built up, but also you want the people who grew up in those communities and families and had stake in those communities their entire life to have part of that and not be forced out. And
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're actually, you know, about to ask you, you know, how can we use, you know, financial literacy, you know, to back, you know, gentrification and use it positively for our neighborhoods?
We got our own stuff. We got to buy. We got to have our own businesses. We got to own these houses. You feel me? We got to own these businesses. We got to create, you know, these commercial spaces. So if we're financially literate from the beginning and we understand what investing is, we understand what ownership is, we can apply those principles to real life business and acquiring assets. And the more assets and land we have, the more we control. And as long as we make the right decisions, financial literacy can give us the empower us to obtain the capital resources needed to maintain ownership and actually gentrify our communities ourselves with our businesses and our you know, demographic.
Man, I know all this can't be done without good credit, man. So tell the audience why it's so important for us to have good credit.
Man, because you want to spend everybody else's dollar, bro. If somebody is going to leverage me, you know, 10, 20K to be able, you know, to make an investment, you know, to be able to leverage debt on a real estate property, you know, I want to be able to use that instead of my own, you know, liquid cash. So credit is super important because it is pretty much your identifier to say that, you know, the money you're going to be lent, you have the financial means to pay it back. And what that can do is empower you to, you know, get assets that you normally or get resources that you normally couldn't have, you know, like lines of credit, you know, for high amounts to where you can, you know, leverage to buy more assets. So great credit is key on this journey of financial freedom because it'll allow you to obtain assets and grow your assets at a much more accelerated pace.
All right. So I got two more questions for you, boss,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and read two quotes to you, and I need you to pick which one is more accurate in your opinion, all right?
Okay.
All right, so that first quote is, money can't buy happiness. And the second quote is, more money, more problems. Which
more
one
money,
is more accurate?
Problems, bro. More money, more problems, bro.
That was quick, man.
Yes, sir. That's the one that resonated, bro. Like, yeah. I'm gonna go with more money, more problems. Just because the more money you have, the more expectations are heightened, the more responsibility you have.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, some problems don't have to be big problems, right? Taxes, some people feel is a problem. So, you know, the more money I have, the more taxes I pay. But if those taxes are because I'm making, you know, a boatload of money and I just got to, you know, pay these taxes. It's a problem, but it's a problem that I can, you know, I can deal with. It's a rich, there you go, bro. Like, bro, more money, more problems, but it's levels to problems, bro.
Okay.
It's levels to problems. The money can't buy happiness, bro. I think for me, where I came from, bro, not that money directly buys happiness, but money is the key to most of the things that make people happy, bro, other than the love of the people they care about, right? If you have the love of the people you care about, you know, I think money is probably going to be the key to unlocking everything else in this capitalistic society, you know, that is going to give you guys and your future generations the freedom. So I know for sure with more money comes more problems. So that's the accurate one to me.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That's the accurate one to me, bro.
Okay. Okay.
The more accurate one.
All right. So put yourself in my audience shoes. So say you're a high school, college student, maybe just graduated. What are your next money moves? So think back. And how would you react now, knowing the information that you know now? How would you move, you know, younger Ralph Jarvis? How would you move?
If I was younger, you know, coming out of high school, honestly, you know, and I went to school out of high school, I would probably, you know, school was very valuable to me. So I can't say that I probably would do maybe that different. But being enlightened to what we've talked about today, to saving on the side, to investing, you know, in ETFs and stocks, to focusing on a budget and being more stringent in my spending is what I would have did, and took on, you know, the financial literacy aspect and just kind of started that investing a lot earlier and really start attacking these different income streams a lot earlier. Because, you know, I think school is still great for people who are school people, but I think either whether you do school or not, having financial literacy, focusing on creating passive income streams, understanding whatever your passion is and providing value to people out here and monetizing it applies to everybody. So I think that's what I would have did different. And that's what took me a long time to kind of understand and why I'm so passionate right now about giving it back to younger people. Because, you know, starting that early is key.
Man, I love it, man. I appreciate your time here, man.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For joining us on
Thank you for having me, bro.
Man, you know it's all love, baby. It's all love. Man, let the audience know where to reach you. Any final words, man? Go ahead. You got it.
Yes, sir. So you can find me on all social media platforms. That's going to be at Ralph Means Biz. And yeah, man, that's all, man. Follow me on the social media, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. And I really appreciate you guys having me. The more we can empower people to change their mindset, man, it's going to change their lives, bro.
Man, no cap. Man, now we're going to take it back to Remy G and me for one of our favorite segments called Did You Know? Let's go. Welcome back, welcome back. We're about to get into the Did You Know portion of our show. Let's do it, G. Did you know the average American will retire at 66 and live until nearly 79?
Did you know financial advisors recommend replacing 80% of your usual income with another source until you hit retirement?
Did you know only 100 million people in the U.S. have a 401k retirement plan?
Did you know most people will need to rely on some sort of personal savings in order to maintain their current standing of living in retirement?
Did you know a typical couple in the 56 to 61 age bracket without any retirement accounts had just $17,000 in savings?
Did you know the mean retirement savings of working households aged 32 to 61 is $95,776?
So now we'll be taking some questions from two lucky fan members. Shout out to _ Aaron Nicole on Instagram. Her question was, single stocks or an ETF? Single stocks give you more control over your individual investments, while ETFs are basically groups of stocks. Owning individual shares lets you invest into particular companies, while ETFs let you track broad markets, resulting in less risk because all of your eggs are not into one basket.
Shout out my good friend Naya from Northeast Atlanta. Her question was, how do you save money on a tight budget? So start out by looking at regular reoccurring expenses so you have an idea of what your budget actually looks like. These expenses are things like, you know, cable, car payments, phone bills. Once you have a budget created, this allows you to become more financially aware, you know, before making major purchases. Literally every dollar counts. Saving can be hard, but when you create a long-term plan or goal, it gives you a purpose, and it makes it easier to save. So coming up with a realistic plan and staying committed is the best way to save money when working with a tight budget. A great rule of thumb I personally use is putting away at least 10% of my gross income a month. So somebody who makes $3,000 a month would have saved $300 additional dollars by the end of the month if they stayed committed to this rule.
Here on FY Fly, we always want to leave y'all with some actionable items, some real strong positive messages to take away. And I'm going to keep it simple and sweet. You are the only one responsible for your own retirement. Save money for retirement because, let's face it, our parents will not be there to save us. So save yourself now by saving your money in some sort of retirement plan. While there are financial resources that are available to clearly help us, let's take advantage of them. We got to get out of that I'm here for a good time, not a long time, that you only live once, YOLO type mentality. Because I plan on living a long, peaceful life surrounded by the people that I want, doing the things that I want, and that will come from my financial decisions now. Stay safe.
Stay invested.
And stay fly.
Thank you all for listening to FY Fly the podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more financial literacy insights with our special guest. Please visit our website, social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at FYI Fly Podcast. That's FYI FLI Podcast.
Don't go anywhere just yet. Stay tuned as each week here on FY Fly, we like to give an independent artist a place to shine and gain some exposure. This week we have All I Know by Blake B. Let's get it.
See y'all next week and stay fly.
Hey, yeah. All I know is I'm enjoying this life. That's how it goes when you start to take flight. Only Lord knows if I'm living it right. Only Lord knows if I'm living it right. I'm on the road this time of night. I count up the stars this time of night. All I know is I'm enjoying this life. Only Lord knows if I'm living it right. I see the stars when I look every night.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.